All right, it is Monday. Laura's saying that we're going to be under a heat advisory. You know, I have railed a little bit, Dan, on my belief that we have too many advisories. Too many advisories. I don't have time for all your advisories. The Weather Service has 1 million different warnings and weather alerts and advisories, and then you've got every dumb TV station with their own super-duper weather impact alert, weather watcher alert, weather alert day.
Yeah.
Big weather, big this.
I would love to give you grief over choosing this as a thing to rail about.
You can.
Well, I can't really without being a hypocrite because it wasn't, what, 2.5 hours ago that I railed about why the cycle is dumb.
That's true.
So.
Oh, is this a segment?
I'm kind of thinking as I was.
So here we go. 651-461-9226. Things that annoy you.
That nobody else cares about.
Nobody else cares about. Like, I believe there are too many weather warnings. And all of the noise has, I mean, I still pay attention because, so maybe everybody else does too. But heat advisory, it's not even going to be 100. Let's toughen up.
No,
we need an advisory for a day where the high is going to be 93?
I mean, isn't it like the humidity and the ratio and your ability to sweat off and cool yourself down?
Thank you for asking. I looked it up.
Okay.
Because, yes, I am someone who is willing, frankly, I have the courage to take on
okay.
the tough topics. I'm not afraid of big weather. I'm not afraid of big warning.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm like, I will take this topic on. So I looked it up. Now, you got your, how many different heat-related warnings are there? There's a tab with like 5 different tabs on it. Here are the alerts. Oh, here we go. You got extreme heat watch. Extreme heat watch is when dangerous heat is possible. Then you got extreme heat warning. That's when dangerous heat is happening or about to happen. So warning is the bad stuff. Watch is the... So you got those two. And then you have heat advisory, which is just for people who are obsessed with needing some sort of red alert. Heat advisory is for dangerous heat conditions that are not expected to reach warning criteria. So maybe... So the heat advisory is... And you look at the website, extreme heat warning. You know what you're supposed to do there, Dan?
No, what are you supposed to do, Jason?
Take action. Now, when there's an extreme heat watch, what are you supposed to do?
Be prepared to
Be
take action?
Be prepared,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Heat advisory?
You prepare to prepare to take action.
I mean, it says take action.
Well, like, but I mean, what's this? Why isn't it... You know what I think? Here's my theory on the advisories and like the special weather statements are now a thing during severe weather times, thunderstorms. I think those are issued quite literally to say, yeah, we know it's hot,
right?
But it's not dangerously hot, but yeah, it's hot. Or in this case of the severe, the special weather statements, yeah, it's thunderstorming. We get it, but it's not severe. It's like, because you know, there's the people that call up going, hey, is there a warning? Is there, what's going on?
Right.
So now that they're issuing these like, It's not a thing, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking those are.
Jason, they do this because there are plenty of stupid people out there, even people who leave a kid in the car. These advisories are not meant for you. I get, which
I agree
with
that. Those, I mean, or you mean them for those people, but they're not the people that keep the kid in the car aren't paying attention to an advisory,
well,
are they?
Maybe dumb people like advisories, you know? Maybe you're just living your dumb guy life. Oblivious to what's happening until National Weather Service says, take action. I don't know. How about one warning at the start of the year? Hey, folks, it's summer. Another texter says, obviously, you're not working outside right now. I mean, that is true. But if you're working outside right now, let me tell you what you do not need. Some pencil-pushing weather nerd telling you that it might get hot. You know. No disrespect to the
pencil
pushers. Except,
can you then take that to the boss and say, hey, boss, we got to have extra breaks or more water. We got to do some things because look at the piece of paper here.
Advisory. Well, you got like.
See, I'm looking out for the working man, Jason. You're just telling him, you know, the heck with him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Typical elitist talk show host.
Who works inside.
I mean, I was outside today.
You were?
I spent a lot of time out in this heat today.
We did the whole show outside on Friday. It was pretty stuffy.
Now, I don't think me saying that I spent a lot of time outside at the Royal Golf Club in Lake Elmo.
Not going to get rid of that elitist tag, are you?
Doesn't exactly say working man. All right, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan is going to rail now on the cycle.
I say this knowing full well I'm in the minority on this, and this is my curmudgeon bit, but the cycle's the dumbest thing that we celebrate in baseball because it's completely arbitrary, right? If Byron Buxton on Saturday had a single, a double, and two home runs, that's a better day than just hitting for the cycle. It just is. But we don't, that's not like the lead line of every story about that game. But because it's just this pure arbitrary 1, 2, 3, 4 counting statistic, we freak out. And I don't understand. It's not, you didn't achieve anything. You just got all the different hits in a game.
Yeah.
Mostly by chance. You know, he wasn't trying to hit a double at that at bat or trying to hit a triple in that at bat. Yeah, once he had the double, single, and triple, is he trying to hit a home run in his next two at bat? Of course he is. But you're still, it's not really a thing, folks.
It is a thing. I'm looking at Google in the news and MLB says Buxton warms up for Derby with cycle. New York Times.
No, we make it a thing. It's a thing in the press. It's a thing for writers to write about.
I think regular people were very excited about this.
Well, and of course, it happens.
That's our fault.
On his bobblehead day, and so everybody gets to freak out about that. And
the cycle is it's just joy. You're clearly anti-joy.
Clearly.
And then on top of it, like, I feel that you have an underappreciation for the true magic that happens in life when you get to have one of everything.
When you get to count to four?
So imagine your parents are taking you to Baskin Robbins. Did you guys have Baskin Robbins around here?
Back in my day, no. We had to make our own ice cream. Yes, we had Baskin Robbins.
And Baskin Robbins has how many flavors?
I don't know. It was a bunch of them. It's 99, 30, 30, whatever. I don't know.
91.
I don't know. It was a big number.
99 flavors. 31 flavors.
Okay.
Baskin Robbins had 31 flavors. But imagine you go to Honey and Mackey's and you can have one of everything. It's glorious. You would celebrate.
No, I wouldn't.
Byron had one of everything. He got a walk, he got a hit.
A double. A treble.
1, 2, 3, 4. That's not.
We counted to four. Yay.
I must confess that I've never considered about
the purely arbitrary nature of a cycle.
Well, everything is arbitrary.
Not everything is arbitrary. No.
You're getting gonged on the text line.
Believe me, I'm fully aware that I'm in the minority on this one. And this is my curmudgeon bit. But
what I think is funny about you being irritated by this is that most baseball statistics are sort of like made up things. Now, generally they like illuminate some other thing.
Yeah.
In this, I suppose the question you're asking, and I've never considered this until you brought this up. Would you rather have four home runs? Or four doubles, or right? What would be better?
No, I mean four home runs. Obviously,
four home runs would be
vastly better.
Four doubles.
I don't know that four doubles is.
We would not celebrate.
Eight total bases. Although, the cycle is 10. So.
Oh, that's the metric.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying if you're going to try and figure out some way of judging it.
Yeah.
Because the only reason the cycle's a thing is because we can count to four. That's literally the only reason it's a thing.
Well, it's just it's unusual.
Is
it a thing because it's unusual?
Yeah, because it's fairly rare. And it's fairly rare because people don't go to the ballpark trying to hit for a cycle.
Well, I think if you had, don't you think Byron, after getting a single, double, and a triple, was thinking, man, it'd be cool to get a home run?
Yes, in that moment, yes, I think.
So your
he was
last
thinking that.
Your last opportunity, you probably are trying to get the sign.
Right.
Now,
but nobody shows up that morning going, you know.
So let me ask you this: if you've got a base hit and you've got a double, no. You got a base hit, you got a triple, and you got a home run. Your last time up to bat, you smash it deep to the left field corner. Yep. The ball rolls to the wall. Do you stop at second base?
If you do, you should be immediately benched. If you have an opportunity to get to third,
what if
you get to third?
What if you're up by 10?
No, you get to third.
I would stop.
You get to third if it's a thing. Well, yeah, of course. I don't. Yeah, would a lot of people do that? Sure, but that shouldn't be how you play the game.
You're starting to get a lot of support.
All right, way to go, people. Way to come around.
These are the same people who get giddy when the digital clock hits 11:11 twice a day. My coworker has the same birthday as me. What are the odds? Woohoo!
That's what I'm saying.
All right, but on the other side, is your producer stupid fixable? Now, would you guys stop at second? I want to hear your answer to that. 651-461-9226. Drive time back in just a minute. Was an open book. That's it. That's all you get for our Name That Tune competition for Paul McCartney Got Back. Drive time went to Russia. All week, we're giving away a pair of passes. You cannot buy them. You can only win them here. Paul McCartney, U.S. Bank Stadium, October 17th. So grateful to Live Nation for sharing these tickets with us to share with you. You can register for early access to tickets if you go online to paulmccartneygotback.com. The way we play this game is Name That Tune style. We have a number of callers lined up. Shar in Maplewood is up first. Shar, this is such a rare prize. I'd like to see if you can name that tune from Dan already playing it. Can you?
I can.
Go ahead. Here we go.
Live and Let Die. Was an open book.
Shar, you did it. Michelle and Dan and Elaine and Diane, I'm so sorry. I wasn't sure. This song is so recognizable. It's difficult to take a pull from it and not have somebody guess. But you knew right away, Shar.
Wow, I'm probably one of the biggest Paul McCartney fans there is.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me how excited you are that you're going to see Paul McCartney at U.S. Bank Stadium.
I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon. I've seen him about 15 times, and every time is like the first.
Oh, I love to hear that. Oh, this is so cool. We're always glad when we give it to someone who's absolutely going to love it. Who are you going to go with to the show, Shar?
I am going to take my daughter, Adriana, Jason, who you spoke to from First Avenue.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep, that's my daughter, and that's who I'm taking.
Oh, I love it. Oh, you guys are going to have so much fun. What is your favorite Paul McCartney song?
You know, probably Venus and Mars. I like his Wings era the best of everything that he's done.
Venus and Mars from 1975, I think, is when that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Yeah. I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad you were listening today, Shar. Congratulations. Stay on the line. Dan will get all your information, okay?
Sounds good, Jason. Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks to Live Nation for giving us the tickets to give away. Shar nailed it.
We were talking about it during the break, that's a very, very recognizable song, and it would be difficult to get too tricky with it.
Yeah.
But first caller nailing it.
And it texter saying, knew it.
Yeah.
Knew it right away.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's only going to get more complicated as the week goes along.
Correct. So we are doing this every day, different times in the show. So if you're a 3 o'clock listener, you'll have a chance. If you're a 5 o'clock listener, you'll have a chance. And my best advice for you to try to win tickets is to subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and the WCCO radio channel, so it's just WCCO radio, click subscribe. And then tomorrow, just click the live on our channel. And then you're seeing this in real time. Because on AM radio, it's pretty close to real time. On the stream, if you're listening like on the Odyssey app or a smart speaker.
Not as much.
Yeah, it's about 30 seconds delayed. So you want to, the phone line filled up just like that. So that's just my advice. If you watch us on the stream, you will have the first shot to call it. And then you still got to get it right. So that's how that goes.
There you go.
Paul McCartney got back.com. And weirdly, it's all just pictures of Paul just like showing off his badonkadonk.
You know, why not? If you got it, flaunt it.
Paul McCartney got back. At his age, he still got back.
Can we get back to the text line, which people are savaging me on over my cycle take?
There's some good points. Dan is opposed to the cycle.
I'm opposed to making a big deal of the cycle.
Rare things are fun. Texter says, in poker, a full house beats a straight, but a straight is just cool. Same as the cycle.
Which is makes my arbitrary nature point for me beautifully. Thank you.
But it's cool. Why is it wrong to celebrate something cool?
Well, in this case, in this particular example, because you lost the hand would be one thing.
Yeah, well, it's true.
I mean, so when we were out there Friday, I don't know, we didn't talk about this on the air. When you were out there Friday, the official archivist of the Twins came and found us.
Yeah.
Because he had a picture and a signed hot dog wrapper by you,
correct,
which was the first hot dog ever consumed at Target Field.
Yeah.
Should we put that on the front page of the newspaper? Because that was a first. That was a rare thing. Let's do that.
Well, I do think there should have been more coverage of that in the moment, for sure. For sure. It's 4:30. When we come back, are we over whining about road construction? We're going to talk with a Star Tribune expert when it comes to the drive. Tim Harlow will join us. What is going on? Another couple of projects about to start. Tim will join us in just minutes here on CCO. Well, where we're going is nowhere, because construction has really been a massive conversation this summer. If we look, there are things we love talking about, we love complaining about. If it's hot, we're going to complain that it's too hot. If it's cold, we're going to complain it's too cold. If it's smoky, we're going to complain it's smoky. If it's summer, we're going to complain that there's too much road construction. And if it's winter, we're going to complain that the roads are crappy and why can't they do some dang road construction? It has been at a bit of a fever pitch. And one of the best journalists who keeps his eye on construction, on the roads, on our various ways of commuting, is Tim Harlow with the Minnesota Star Tribune, who joins us right now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Because today, Tim wrote about another highway project that's underway. And Tim, we're talking to you while you're stuck in traffic, I can only assume.
I'm actually doing pretty well. I got to work at home today, so I'm not stuck in traffic. So I'm smiling.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Well, I will say, when that is the MnDOT answer as to what we should do because of a construction project, I hate that answer, because not everybody can do this. And it just sort of says there's nothing you can do about it. Construction is going to be a fact of our life. You've been looking into this from another from a couple different perspectives. I guess my first question to you is, are you with me? Do you feel like there's been like a higher rate of complaints from people this summer compared to normal?
I would say, well, I don't know if I can compare it to other years, because people complain about road construction all the time, but let's just say I'm getting 3 to 5 emails a day and a couple phone calls from people grousing, asking, why are they doing all this construction at the same time? And I think that it's just compounded, because not only do you have the freeways under construction, but, you know, you got the city projects and the county projects too. So trying to go east-west has just been a nightmare since the beginning of May.
There is a financial component to this, right? Because the state of Minnesota, MnDOT, is trying to spend some of this federal money that they got when Joe Biden was in charge, and this was sort of that budget, and they're trying to spend this federal money, right? Is that part of why there are so many in the metro going on, so many of these sort of maintenance projects going on?
Well, I think that's part of it. But, you know, some of these projects are scheduled, you know, several years in advance. But again, that's all tied to what federal funding they're going to get so they can plan these projects. So I think the two are related. I don't know if they moved any of these projects up because of the federal funding, but I do know that 25% of MnDOT's budgets for this year in the fiscal year is for projects going on this year. So they want to get these things done because down the road, they've got more road construction for us to deal with.
You wrote a little bit about, you know, the multitude of projects going on in the metro area. And when I've talked to MnDOT, they say, like we're doing the same number of projects that we're always doing. But they are, like, we had the mega maintenance last weekend, which I love the branding. Do you like the branding of the mega maintenance project?
Oh, I loved it. And they're going to do it again in August, so it'll come back.
Yeah, wonderful. We created like a little spoof movie trailer promoting mega maintenance. And I'm glad I get to get another run out of that deal in in a couple of weeks. But we've got like the 35W Burnsville. We got 494 Bloomington, 55 in Plymouth. There's this 394 project. And of course, the 94 between Minneapolis and St. Paul has been the worst. What is the status of this 394 project that's starting? Supposed to start Monday?
It's supposed to start today. And for the first 2 weeks, you're going to see some overnight lane closures and some work on the side. It'll be July 28th. So 2 weeks from today is when we're really probably going to start to see the effects of this one. And that's when they're going to close down the easy pass lanes. 5,000 cars that use it each day will be put into the general purpose lanes, and we'll be living with that till, you know, the end of the construction season, which is late October, early November, depending on what Mother Nature decides to throw our way.
So I've been one questioning the fact that all of these seem to be, you know, in similar areas of town going on at the same time. But today I might be backtracking, and because the reality is our construction season is short. The complainers are sort of saying, like, well, isn't there a better way to do this? And I'm not convinced there is a better way to do it. Are there other ways that they could maybe lessen the impact of this without just not doing as many projects?
You know, that's a great question, you know, and people have been espousing that, well, just do it 24/7. I don't know if that would speed things up. And that also is a problem because you got to get people to work 24/7. And when you're trying to get people into the construction trade, which is they're struggling to do that, saying, hey, you got to work 24/7. That's not a good advertisement to bring people in. And I don't know how much work they can even get done overnight. And then you got all the noise. So the people will start complaining about that if they live near these sites. So I'm not sure that's the solution, but you know, it's one that people throw out there all the time.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think the 24/7 nonsense is a straight up pipe dream from people. Why don't you go sign up to do it if you think it's such a good idea? Like I also worry about safety. I mean, we have to be real that people are much more careless on the roads today than they were even 5 or 10 years ago because of all the distracted driving. And so I don't know. I wouldn't feel real thrilled about like sending my family members off to go work in a construction zone at 2 in the morning. I used to drive to work at 2 in the morning. It was not always a pleasant experience, put it that way.
Well, I agree totally with that. You know, and they do some small projects at night, like the bridge that they're building over on 50th and Highway 100.
Right.
You know, some small projects that they can do at night, but, you know, not closing down whole highways and things overnight and working 24/7 for months upon end. And the thing about this is now, I mean, I'm no engineer here, but, you know, once they get work done, you know, concrete has to cure before they get to the next step. And people are always saying, well, how come I drive by and there's nobody doing any work? It's like, well, they've done work. Now they're just waiting for the next step. And they're probably off doing a job somewhere else because there's a lot of demand for them.
Tim Harlow is with the Minnesota Star Tribune. He covers the drive. He talks about construction quite a bit this time of year. I suppose my only question, or maybe mild criticism, is that all of the explanations make sense, right? But where's the innovation? Where's the creative thinking? Like, let's do a test of doing a project this way to see if it goes better. Are, you know, am I being unfair? Are there innovation or are there new ways of trying to pace these out or new technology to try to make some of this stuff go a little quicker?
I think that's a great question for MnDOT that we've been asking, trying to find out. But, you know, when it comes, push comes to shove, you still got to put asphalt down. And yeah, I don't know if there's a new way to make asphalt and put it down other than the way they're doing it.
Right. Right. And I think the curing of the concrete also is another. It's an excellent point when you think about like these bridge repairs and bridge projects. It just some of this stuff just takes time. It just takes time. What is your biggest nightmare commute? What's the worst that you have to deal with?
Well, being that I live real close to downtown, I don't really have a nightmarish commute when I go to the office, and I go 3 days a week. But I saw it firsthand over the weekend, all those cars on 36, you know, it's like it looked like, you know, Friday afternoon rush hour on a Sunday afternoon. And I did try to go to St. Paul over the weekend. I thought, well, I'll just go on the city streets and avoid the freeway. Well, that wasn't any better. So, you know, I think the east-west traffic trying to get across from one side to the river, I think that's the biggest frustration for people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lack of signage. I've gotten some emails saying, how come the detours aren't marked better? And I think people just want to know where they can go and how they can go, and not being able to do that and then getting caught in a detour where they don't know where they are. I think that's why people are really upset.
Appreciate your work. Tim Harlow with the Star Tribune. Oh, one of my guys on YouTube is volunteering to do construction overnight. So one of our so we can
contract.
We got one
done for us.
We got one so far. One so far. Tim, thank you.
You're welcome.
447. I hope I will confess, Dan, like I love road construction. Maybe this is the next commercial we should, like, spoof commercial we should do. Because I love road construction. A lot of you guys belly aching about being stuck in traffic. I love it when you're stuck in traffic. I want your afternoon commute to take as long as possible.
As long as you have one of those little devices with you that maybe benefits us a little bit.
That'd be even better. But look, I met a woman today who told me that her commute from her job to home is 6 minutes. And she wondered if I could do the show a little quicker. Now, that's one option.
I mean, that's a thought.
I'm asking for delays in your commute. Is it possible that big drive time with Russia is conspiring with MnDOT to make your commute a little longer?
We would never do something.
Just to juice my rating.
No.
I would do that for sure. You wouldn't be in favor of that?
I mean, I wouldn't tell people I was in favor of it.
I love your traffic delays. When JP says there's stacking, what is the JP line? There's stacking and cracking.
Pretty sure that's not it.
we'll see if he's listening.
JP.
Yeah, jammed and crammed. That's right.
All right, thanks, JP.
Jammed and crammed. I like a good jammed and crammed. And I think JP was about to tell me to jam it and cram it, and so we will. We'll break. We'll do weather and traffic next on CCO. You don't make any weird sounds?
I don't make that one.
Do you have like a go-to sound effect? Or are you not really a sound effect guy?
Not really a vocal sound effect guy. I have, the only thing I'm self-conscious about is I do have sort of a barking laugh.
Hmm.
And I just... It's totally reflexive. It's not, but like, even remember Friday you were chatting with Chad and I laughed off microphone,
yeah,
but it was
yeah.
such a loud enough.
Very audible.
He caught it. And
that's it. That's it though. Huh? I don't know what I was just doing there with it.
I don't either. That
it was like a trilling,
that's why I gave
like
you the look.
Rolling an R sort of thing.
Trying to understand what that had to do with being hot.
Well, you know.
I mean, I gave you the benefit of the doubt that there was some sort of logical connection.
No, I
was just struggling to understand.
Performing.
What it was.
It's the theater of the mind. Just Just trying to give people a little joy, Dan.
I can't see why you wouldn't.
They're stuck in traffic.
Very mad about the traffic.
I don't know.
I was like thrilled today driving in because I thought 394 was going to be this mess, and then it wasn't.
It was fine today.
And then you told me they delayed that, so.
Right.
And I thought you beat the system.
Yeah. I will say, like, my level of frustration, like, I drove through the 94 coming back from Prior Lake.
God bless you.
And it was fine. It was fine. Now, I drove, I drove 694 to get there. Most of my commute is fine. So I guess what I'm saying is all of you all whining about this stuff, tough luck for you. Andy Bram, we're going to write another column about it in the Star Tribune. Andy, you live in St. Paul and work in Wayzata. You made the bad choice. It's on you. Yeah, Tim Harlow. Isn't there a singer named Tim Harlow?
I don't know.
Pretty sure. Am I making that up?
I mean, if you are, you were confident about it. And I like that.
It's that, sings that song that's First Class. That song, First Class. That's Jack Harlow.
Ah, well, you were close.
That's probably Tim's kid.
Could be.
We'll have a more logical and well-thought-out segment coming up after, I'm not going to make that promise, actually. News is next.